to From Passion to Purpose, the podcast where we dive deep into the inspiring world of nonprofit organization and the incredible individuals who lead them. I'm your host, Shama, and I'm thrilled to take you on this journey of exploration and discovery. We all have moments when we strongly desire to make a positive impact, give back to our community, and change the world for better. For many, that desire evolves into a passion, a driving force that compels us to take action. This podcast is about the journey from the initial spark of passion to the fulfillment of a higher purpose. So let's jump in and begin our exploration. Welcome. I'm here with Andrea Suarez with We Heart Seattle. She is the founder and the executive director. So welcome, and please tell us about your organization and a little bit about you.
Thank you for having me on. My name again is Andrea Suarez. I'm the founder and executive director of now a three-year-old nonprofit called We Heart Seattle. We're a grassroots movement for a more beautiful and safe Seattle for all to enjoy. And we do that by organizing citywide litter picks and remove garbage from our shared spaces. And in doing that, we have extend an olive branch to folks living rough and that we meet along the way outside and offer them individualized outreach. And that was kind of an unintended outcome of starting a litter pick movement. I know people have been picking litter for a very long time, but we decided that it was important to get up close and more personal with the folks living outside in tents and in encampments and helping them with waste management as a form of harm reduction.
Sounds great. I'm always curious to know, like, what made you get into this field? Were you always passionate about a nonprofit, or this just kind of happened?
It's a great question. You know, I wasn't a great volunteer or civically engaged person prior to the pandemic. For me, the silver lining of the pandemic was, you know, being at home, looking at my backyard, you know, going for a lot of walks and seeing that there was needles and garbage everywhere. And I thought waste management would have been a essential service, but it seemed to have fallen flat, especially in our parks. And after I had called a lot of different city agencies like Parks or SPU or SDOT or WashDOT or the fire department or the police department, and all of those outlets were like, yeah, you know, we don't really go, or we don't really work in or around, you know, the encampments. And Adopt a Street wasn't up and running, which is a Seattle public utilities program where everyday citizens can adopt their block and pick up trash and make a little sign, and it's been around forever. And I thought, well, what the heck is it? It's garbage bags and pinchers, right? So I went to Home Depot and I personally funded We Heart Seattle with a $25,000 deposit as my commitment to do something about the trash and the needles that were everywhere. And I did not intend to be a nonprofit. I did not intend to become a professional outreach worker. You know, all of that was just lock and step with being outside, boots on the ground, in and around the encampments, just came with getting to know people and also encouraging folks to participate in our program, which we're really proud of. We've given out, gosh, I don't know what the exact number is, but somewhere north of probably $25,000 in basic needs stipends to the homeless that we meet along the way that participate and volunteer in our program, you know, as a way to kind of deinstitutionalize them from just languishing and doing nothing all day, but sadly use drugs. So we're really proud of giving people purpose and empowerment, and sometimes navigating employment for them through Uplift Northwest, as example.
Do you get the word out that you're wanting to go out there and do this?
Well, I started a Facebook page, you know, September 14th, I cried like a baby to my mom and my friends saying, gosh, Seattle really is in despair. My city, I love. People are languishing. There's garbage everywhere. What are we going to do? I'm going to move. I kind of had that moment of defeat. And the next morning I woke up and my friend created me what's now the We Heart Seattle Facebook page, which has almost 7,000 followers between Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, TikTok. We have over 10,000 followers, and creating those events on that calendar, on that Facebook platform, allowed us to spread the word. And I also reached out to other neighborhood groups like the Ballard Group, the West Seattle Group, the Beacon Hill Group. And I was like, hey, we cleaned up Denny Park. Look what we're doing. You guys are complaining a lot about homeless and trash and racket at night. And here's what we're doing. And people started joining my page and me theirs. And we started collaborating across the city, which actually started out, it was I Heart Downtown Seattle. And as soon as the rest of Seattle started calling saying, well, we want you to come to our park or our green space or our green belt, we immediately rebranded to We Heart Seattle. But yeah, social media and the media, you know, in order to coalesce, you have to make friends with the media. And we were very available to Como, Cairo, King, Fox, 13. We made it to national news right away because we were the nice ladies picking up all the needles in our parks. And one of the news stations asked me, you know, aren't you disappointed in your city leaders? And I really had a hard time throwing our city leaders under any kind of bus during the pandemic. I said, no, me, I blame me. We need the people, the citizens, the voters need to get out and fill the gaps in our communities. And that's my call to action as a leader is volunteer.
Really amazing. I mean, wow. And now how many volunteers do you have coming out to help?
That's a great question. We have logged more than 10,000 volunteer labor hours. And how do we know that? Everything is tracked in an Excel spreadsheet. We have the number of people that come out to our now over 300 litter picks. We've tracked everything for our 501c3 status for donors and grant writing and all of that. We are a professional organization, so we do track and account for our work. And so we're really proud of that. You know, 10,000 hours of labor in our green spaces, in our parks is a big number. And if you put a contractor rate on that, I think the city pays something like $450 an hour to contractors to clean up encampment trash. It's priceless work because frankly, they've told me we can't go on slopes. We're not allowed to go within 20 feet of a tent. And those two policies are where we, the people, volunteers can go fill those gaps. And we have to stop telling people to stand back and stand down. I think we need to be more emboldened to get out there and do something about the homeless crisis. I think, you know, I was just reading the Seattle Times article on the overdose deaths of fentanyl is up 47% this year. And we personally, our volunteers have found over 10 passed away bodies in our shared spaces, in tents, in cars, in RVs, under bridges, being out there. And I think the death toll is something north of 1,000 people now this year. If we're out there more checking in on people, I think that saves lives. And these current policies of don't go within a tent, you're not trained, you don't know who you're working with or dealing with, you don't have the master's of social worker degree, to that I say enough, full stop. Everybody's a volunteer, everybody's an outreach worker, and we need to be out there doing welfare checks and leaning in, not standing back. And it's contrary to the wish to not stigmatize homeless people and drug addiction, right? The news article today in the Seattle Times was all about not stigmatizing drug addiction and not stigmatizing homelessness and doing this sort of meet people where they're at and don't sweep and don't get near and just give them enough to barely stay alive another day, which is like treating them like a hospice patient, sadly, instead of a human being. That policy of don't go within 20 feet of a tent is like the number one way to stigmatize a homeless person, is to say, don't go anywhere near this human being. And so what I've uncovered during this journey, this movement, I say the truth has lied beneath the trash, is that I've become, and I'm proud to say, a policy expert in the city and counted on by our city council, by our police officers, by our other civic leadership groups like Rotarians and service providers in the media and academic leaders are wanting to know, what is your thoughts and feelings on solutions? Because we are not theoretical. We are all boots on the ground, all practical. And when you've done it for 3 years, it's no longer anecdotal. It's truth, my truth, and 10,000 hours of truth, an unpaid, unfunded study we now have in our city that We Heart Seattle can present and is happy to talk about what we've learned.
That was going to be my next question, is that, do you have any paid staff or is it all volunteers?
Great question. After 28 months of volunteering myself, I have started to pay myself as an executive director. I'm paid as a contractor. We have one full-time program director, Tim Emerson, who volunteered for his first year as well. And then when we got enough money in the bank, we started payrolling him through our Second Chance employer and partner, Uplift Northwest, the former legacy nonprofit millionaire club that's 100 plus years old. So they've been a big part of supplementing our program, and then turbocharged by volunteers. So we have a couple contracts throughout the city. We call them MOUs, or memorandums of understanding, where different city groups are paying us to respond to outreach and debris removal needs. Again, just as a gap filler to what the SPU is already doing and all of our other nonprofits. We've just created a brand and a model, because we're private funded, is a bit more friction free and a bit more responsive, because we don't have a lot of the bureaucrat and red tape. In fact, we have none.
Question, is there an age limit for volunteers?
We like to have ages 13 and higher, I think is what our fine print say. We've had 13-year-olds and we've had 85-year-olds at, and we kind of customize each litter pick and orientation around the group that's out. We've had kids from Barcelona, Mexico, we've had corporate serve days from all over the country that look up volunteer platforms, and we've hosted folks from all over the world. And we've are also the platform of choice for Seattle Municipal Court. And we have people who have sometimes hundreds of hours that they have to do for community service instead of jail time or fines. And we absolutely love hosting folks out here at We Heart Seattle. So lots of different avenues to hop on board.
Do you provide volunteers any training?
Yeah, we have a stack of what to expect, training orientation, waivers that, you know, everyone's required to sign, that talk about, you know, how to go about if you stumble across, you know, needles or human waste, or sadly, you know, we have, you know, we do scout our locations multiple times before we bring volunteers in. What does that mean? We walk the trail, we meet the homeless, we frankly will do a lot of the removal of anything that's hazardous, like human waste or needles, so it's just extra safe. We do offer trauma-informed care training, de-escalation training, and mental health first aid. In fact, we've partnered with Uplift Northwest for that training, Union Gospel Mission for that training, and the Downtown Seattle Association for that training. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We have plenty of agencies out there that have plenty of training programs that we can plug into.
How do you feel like the community where you're doing this removal, how are they receiving you?
Well, they believe our group is making a huge difference in the neighborhood. We hear lots of, we have a big fan club on social media. You know, we're angels, we're heroes, we're game changers. It's really fun and rewarding because the community are praising the efforts of our volunteers. We do these incredible before and after pictures, and they're striking to see. You know, we're not picking up bubblegum wrappers and chips, you know, and beer bottles. Mm-hmm. In fact, I hardly ever see alcohol bottles. It's interesting, you know, the impact that fentanyl and methamphetamines have on people and their behaviors around destruction of green spaces, hoarding, collecting, dispersing, is really rooted in untreated mental illness and drug addiction. So we see a lot of effects of that. But the community You know, we increase property values, we restore safety. Once we completely restore an area, a green space, a park, there's community stewardship. Usually they're the ones who call and ask us to come clean their area and do outreach. We've helped 200 people get off the streets, out of their tent, out of their mound of trash, into detox, back home with family. Paid first and last month's rent for somebody who was housing ready, you know, had their ID, had a job, really that unicorn I call that's truly down and out and decided to start tenting because kind of everybody was doing that in our parks during the pandemic. We're not just pointing to a warming shelter or a day shelter. That 200 number is a meaningful off the street, back home. Like I said, detox, tiny house, hotel, working with the city agencies like the Hope Team or other referring agencies like churches that have more of an access to tiny house villages. We still aren't there. We are outside of that system. So it's very hard. It's a hustle, but we're really proud of being able to not just save lives, but create lives. And we have a few clients that have birthed children and have started families since they've been off the streets and off fentanyl that are part of our community now and keep us updated with the bundles of joy they now have.
Love for you to finish this sentence for me. If money weren't a barrier, our nonprofit would?
We would be the leading volunteer platform, the gold standard for civic engagement with training programs in various categories that could help the folks living rough on our streets. I believe that the solution to the homeless crisis that's getting worse over time with more money, higher homicide rates, higher overdose rates, we've thrown enough money at it that it's a human to human response and we need more outreach. So if I had all the money in the world, you know, I think we would flip the script, you know, and not have seven-figure studies and six-figure salaries, that we would have thousands of boots on the ground outreach, much like churches and ministries have done throughout history, but we would just be a non-partisan, non-religious effort and mobilize more people, more outreach on the ground.
Well, lastly, what can the community do to support We Heart Seattle?
Well, you just heard it. Volunteer. Grab your resource guide. Real Change puts out a great resource guide. It's this thick. It lists resources for youth, for veterans, for people with a variety of disabilities. And we're not in there yet. Hopefully someday we will be. Become an outreach worker. Say hello. Wake up. Welfare check. When you're walking through Kinnear Park and there's 20 tents along the way, get to know your neighbors, ask them if they're okay, what they need. I have so many times gotten somebody upright and redirected and back to their shelter or back to their apartment. They've been disoriented. They just need to know that everybody cares and loves them. And there's something special when an everyday citizen lends a helping hand up, not out. I'm not pro-enablement. I'm pro-purpose and pro-empowerment. And I think the homeless are also sick and tired of being coddled. I've heard this many times. And so think differently, think more innovatively about ways you can help and get involved with people that are out there right beneath us languishing. And I believe that that's a great way to reduce the overdose rates and help connect people to their families and their community. And of course, donations. If somebody's listening to this and is charitable, we are a 501c3. And spread the word. I'd rather have 20,000 more volunteers than $20,000. You know.
Great. Well, I will definitely add your website to the link to this podcast. And I can't thank you enough for telling us about this amazing work that you're doing, along with so many other volunteers.
Thank you for the opportunity to showcase our movement.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe. Also, now available, Nonprofit Fundraising Lessons from the Trenches, authored by me. You can find it on Amazon or go directly to my website, caseforsupportconsulting.org. And hope this book will be a great guide to help you elevate your cause. Thank you, and see you again on From Passion to Purpose.